When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome, episode 593 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is May 1st, 2024, and the Padres, they just took 2 out of 3 from the Cincinnati Reds. They lost game one, 5-game losing streak, not doing great. Then they find a way to win game two, and then here it was close, and then Jake Cronenworth with a huge grand slam. A lot of passion that we saw from Jake as he's going into the dugout there. Love to see that. Joe Musgrove with a bounce back outing. And now the Padres, they have an opportunity to get back to over 500 with a really good series against the D-backs. They're 2 games under right now. And there's still problems, but there's some encouraging things as well. And so welcome on in. If you want to join the show, click that link that's pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get to the comments, the questions that anyone has as well. But yeah, thank you for being here. Let's start off with today's win that just happened. Padres, they get the 6-2 win, improved to 16-18 on the year. Joe Musgrove is where I want to start out here. His final line, quality outing, 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. Walked nobody, struck out 9. And when you see the strikeouts up like that, there's a reason why. Like, I saw an improved Joe Musgrove today. I saw improved location. Now, the home run that he gave up, curveball down the middle, yeah, wasn't great. Candelario with the RBI single that he had. Ball was middle in, fastball middle in. Sweet spot for Candelario. And so, again, it was like the missed spots. As we've seen, those that have watched the Joe Musgrove outings this year, it has been a lot of the mislocation. That has been the issue. Velocity, he got it up to 94 today with the fastball and some of the, especially that last strikeout, I believe, was 94. So he can get it up there. It's not 97, but it's not 92. He did have some 92 pitches today. And I have his Baseball Savant page up for today with the breakdowns. His max was almost 95, 94.7 today. Minimum was 90.9 with the fastball, average of 93.1 miles per hour, which was a little bit up from the average so far this season entering today. He did not, something else that I noticed, he did not use the slider very much. He went to the curveball more than the slider. The slider has been giving him issues, so pretty much, hey, let's just work with what worked. Let's not try to do too much here with this slider. Let's stick fastball, cutter, curveball. There were some changeups, there were some sinkers, some sliders, but not nearly as much as the fastball, the cutter, and the curveball. And he got the results that he needed. I'm sure he'll say, hey, I mean, I missed a couple spots, could have been better. But I'll take this, Joe Musgrove. I'll take 6 innings, 2 earned runs almost every time. You want some of those where he gives up no runs or 1 run. But when you walk nobody and you strike out 9 and you keep your team in the game, not just Matt Waldron in the game where you give up like 4 runs, but really in the game, this is what can happen. You know, you give the opportunity, the Padres, they take that opportunity, the offense does, they go get this win. Shout out to Jerks and Profar. Holy cow, this dude is on fire, and it's not the leadoff spot. I've seen some of that where, man, he's hot in that leadoff spot. That's true, but those that have been watching, we know that Jerkson has been playing really well throughout this season so far, and I get it. It's May 1st. It's not like we're in June, but he's been doing this the whole season. He's been really good, and today, 4 for 4. I believe he had a 3-hit day yesterday. This was before he went fully 4 for 4 today. Jesse, I was listening to the game a little bit on the radio, and he was 7 for 11 at one point in this series after he drove in those first couple of runs for the Padres to give them that 2-1 lead before the Reds tied it back up at 2-2. He had a hit in game 1, 3 hits in game 2, and then he had 4 hits today, a run scored, 2 runs driven in, no punch outs, a 954 OPS so far this season. A 342 average. All-star Jerks and Profar, he definitely deserves it. He's one of the top 10 hitters, I believe, in the National League so far this season. And I get it. It's May 1st. We still got ways to go. But, and I think AJ Casavell made this point. I think it was him on social media about how it was a bold strategy. He's joking, but it was a bold strategy for the Padres to say, hey, Jerks, and go be Juan Soto when they trade Juan Soto, right? And they pay Profar $1 million to go be Juan Soto. And Jerickson Profar is stepping into that role, and he's the Padres' best hitter right now. So, applause to Jerickson Profar, no doubt about that. This guy has been fun to watch. It seems like Schilt is definitely in the groove of, hey, let's get the offense out of Profar, and then let's take him out of the game. Let's bring Azokar in, have him play left field, improve the defense a little bit. Profar, though, if you remember in 2022, he was really good, I thought, defensively, and he showed off his arm. So I'm fine if Profar stays in left field when you need the offense. I don't need Azokar to be in there consistently. Now, if you have like a 5-run lead, okay. But, and Schilt knows this, like he obviously would rather have Profar over Azokar as well. I guess going into the year, I was not expecting Azokar to be replacing Profar this much. It feels like he's replacing him in every game that the Padres feel like, okay, we got a good enough lead to take Profar out of the game. Where, because he's not as bad defensively, right, as Juan Soto. But that's just an observation that I had. But yeah, Joe bounced back today. Is that going to be the Joe Musgrove that we're going to see the rest of the year? Who knows? He's had some good outings this year, but then he hasn't been able to follow it up with another good outing. So is he just going to stay away from the slider the rest of the season? And maybe that will give him more success. You'd think that he'd want to try to go back to that. I guess it's a sweeper. Is that what he says? I don't know if that's what he talked to the media about. Like that's how he labels the slider pitch, not as a slider, but as a sweeper. But the curveball, it was working. There were some really good curveballs. I know he gave up a home run on a curveball. But I saw some really good curveballs today, top down, like 12-6 movement there. The fastball, again, like I said earlier, moments ago, got up to 94. So I saw some encouraging things from Musgrove. I thought he located his pitches better. And look at that. Didn't give up 4 home runs. Gave up 1. And quality outing. Didn't walk anyone. No extra of those, you know, free passes. And the Padres, they're able to score enough runs to win this game. Jake Cronenworth coming up big. And before that, by the way, you know, Tyler Wade, I believe he had that bunt, gets on base. And then let me go to that situation because I want to credit everyone that got on base in that spot there. It was the bottom of the seventh. Fernando Cruz on the mound after Ashcraft came out of the game. Wade singles over the head of Espinal. And then Profar singles. Tatis with the four-pitch walk, which was good. I was wondering there, okay, please don't swing at a 3-0 pitch because he did that earlier in the game. Don't do that. Because Tatis, he's not doing that great right now. It's, you know, when he struggles, and I've seen this here, especially during this Red Series, he was swinging at pitches that were outside the zone, trying to expand there, almost like forcing contact and forcing, I'm going to hit my way out of this. Where sometimes just, hey, take what the pitcher's going to give you. He's going to give you a walk, take it and say thank you and just go right on to first base, keep the line moving. And then Jake gets up, 6-2 game after that grand slam. I love the emotion. That reminded me of that Angels home run that he hit against Shohei Ohtani last year, how pumped up he was. Now, obviously, that didn't mount to any. It was a disappointing season for Jake, and it was a disappointing season overall for the Padres. But I looked at that moment as one of the cool moments of last year's season, a season we want to forget. But I'll remember that moment for sure. And hopefully this is not just one moment, a blip on the radar, and it ends up being a bad year for the Padres. Hopefully this is something where it's like, no, remember that Grand Slam game, the Jake Cronenworth Grand Slam? That was one of the many great moments in this season. Because there's a lot of time for great moments to happen here for this Padres team. It's May 1st, after all. Manny is another guy that I want to mention. Great catch by the center fielder, Fairchild, I think, for the Reds. Reminded, obviously, all of us of Manny getting robbed in the WBC by Adam Jones. Almost the same spot. It was closer to right field than the Adam Jones catch. But right there, it's like, all right, well, that was the big chance for the Padres probably in this game. Would have been a huge home run. Give Joe the lead. And instead, he gets robbed. And then he hit another one in that same direction, more towards center. Bullet. And it ends up getting caught as well. Manny is swinging the bat better. The other night, it wasn't just the gapper that he hit when Schilt sent him there with the bases loaded last night. But before that, in a situation early, I think it was the first inning, had an opportunity to drive in some runs. And I think that was bases loaded as well. Hits it right at Ellie De La Cruz, who's like 10 feet tall. So if any other shortstop was there, that would have been right through. And he would have gotten some ribbies there. So Manny, I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing from him. It's been a little bit of a slow start, but hopefully things are turning around. And we know when Manny starts hitting well, nobody's stopping this guy. He is one of the best hitters in baseball when he's on, right? So hopefully that can continue here after the off day, going into Phoenix to face off against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the D-backs have been a little bit underwhelming, like the Padres this year. Corbin Carroll, I saw the graphic that Padres TV showed during this game, kind of previewing this series, and Corbin Carroll has been struggling to start off his season. Let me pull up his numbers as of now. A 193 batting average, a 56 OPS plus, and league average is 100. So yeah, he is really struggling this year. So hopefully the Padres can take advantage of that. And we got Dylan Cease, right? Cease, King, and Waldron, I believe, would be the three starters for that D-back series. Close the roof, Arizona Diamondbacks. We don't need that beekeeper to have to go be the hero again. That was cool, though, that they allowed him to throw the first pitch last night. That was cool. I remember I was at that game when the Padres had that situation behind home plate as well, where it was delayed for a little bit there. I forget what year that was, but it was during the rebuild. It was not like it was last year or anything like that, or 2022. It was, I think Andy Green was the manager. Could be wrong, but it was years ago when that happened. Padres, you can't do anything about it because you don't have a dome. You're at Chase Field. You want to open the roof. Well, make sure that's closed. We don't need any B delays so that our starter doesn't start. Because Jordan Montgomery didn't even start that game, and he has to start, I think, today for the D-backs. So as of now, the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think they closed their series with the Dodgers Is that today? I think that's today. Yeah, 6:40 tonight, Montgomery against Yamamoto. D-backs are 14-17 right now. So that's where the Padres were after, no, when was that? Was that, I think that was the series finale. Yeah, series finale of that Philly series when they got swept. Padres, obviously, we played some more games than some other, most teams because of the Seoul series. But yeah, I thought today it was an encouraging win, but is this just going to be one win, or are they going to be able to consistently have these type of wins? Get the quality outings, right? Good outing from Darvish yesterday, good outing from Joe today. Is that going to be able to continue, or was this kind of a one-off game or a one-off series? I mean, if we go to yesterday's game, the Padres, they weren't even that good with runners in scoring position, went 2-for-16, left 10 guys on base, but the good news was Manny came up with that big hit. Cronenworth with an RBI single. A little bit lucky. Same thing with Tatis there in that third inning. Didn't hit those balls hard. But those guys have been hitting some balls hard, especially Crony, and haven't had that much luck. So baseball gods gave him one there. Bottom five, Manny with that double with the bases loaded. Obviously, that was a decision that was talked about a lot, obviously. Catcher's interference, Crony goes to first. Could have just taken the run and have Crony be out, but Schultz said, no, Crony go to first. Manny, bases loaded, one out. Take the run off the board, that's fine. I believe in Manny. I believe in my guys. I'm talking like Mike Schultz. I believe in this offense, and it ended up working out. And as I said in my post-game reaction, I still don't agree with Schultz's decision there. You may call me insane because, Ben, it worked out. But if, let's say, you take the run and there's two outs, right? If Manny still would have come up with that hit there, you still would have been able to score those runs. You know, when you're a Padres team, you're on a five-game losing streak, every run counts, right? You just had the first inning, bases loaded, nobody out, and couldn't come through, right? Manny came through, but you couldn't control where Ellie De La Cruz was and how freaking tall he is, right? But technically, you look at the stats, didn't come through, didn't get a hit. Later in the game, I'm sorry, I'm taking that run, and then I'm taking my chances with Manny up, two outs. I know it's appealing to have the bases loaded situation with one out there, with Manny up at the plate, but I'm sorry, I'm taking the run. If Profar is up coming up, maybe that's different. And Manny is starting to swing the bat better, obviously. And Schilt obviously knows more than I do. He's the one managing, right? But I still would have taken the run. Maybe that's because I lack as much belief as Schilt does. I mean, Schilt is like on the Seidler level, Peter Seidler level of belief, right? You know how Seidler viewed everything glass half full? That's how Mike Schilt does as well. And Padre fans, when we're under 500 and we have a five-game losing streak, it's probably hard for us to believe in the players a ton, right? We just get into kind of that pessimistic view, that negative view. Like, no, it's not going to work out. Look what just happened in the first inning. We've lost four games in a row. It's just not going to work. But Schilt, you know, credit to him. Faith in Manny, faith in his players, and it works. And that gave the Padres a good lead. Now, a couple home runs were hit off of De Los Santos, made it 6-4. But Padres were able to get the job done. Yuki Matsui, inning and two-thirds, no runs. Robert Suarez, an inning, no runs. 10 saves on the year for Suarez. And after today, where he didn't give up any runs, he now has a 0.66 ERA. So, who are the Padres all-stars at this moment? I think you got to point to Robert Suarez, point to Jurickson Profar, and maybe Dylan Cease, but there's been some really good starters in the NL. So I would say Profar and Suarez right now. Cronenworth, it kind of hurts that he's playing first, but I would think about he's an honorable mention as well. I haven't looked compared directly his numbers with other first basemen in the National League. But I would think that they're pretty good. But he doesn't have a 900 OPS, you know, like Jerks and Profar does, right? 954, 342 average for Jerkson. Crony's at 813, 265 averages. His expected batting average, by the way, is better than 260 than the 265 average. Bogey, by the way, got the day off today. I'm totally fine with that. Give him a couple days off. I was thinking, as I said in my pregame thoughts, like just don't pick up a bat. Don't swing a bat. Get your mind off baseball. I know that's hard if you're Xander Bogaerts, but maybe just get your mind off of it and come back for the Arizona series and maybe something happens, because it's been obviously a disappointing season for Xander so far, but hopefully that can turn around. Game one of the series, Padres lose 5-2. Right off the bat, Eli De La Cruz, a home run, made it 1-0. Profar then homers for his one hit on the day in the series opener, made it 1-1. Sackfly makes it 2-1, a balk, which I guess, what was the explanation on the balk? It was, I'm trying to remember, it was Waldron, I think. He didn't notify the ump or something that he was going to be throwing out of the windup. And so that's why it was a balk. I think that's a stupid rule. Why do you have to inform? You can't see that he's pitching from the windup and he's not in the stretch. If that's what it was, that's just stupid, I think. That made it 3-1. Spencer Steer with the double makes it 4-1. And then Espinal single 5-1. Manny, sure, you know, Padres try to get something together there late in the ninth, 5-2. But obviously that was too late. And Waldron, who said, I think it was it Tony Gwynn Jr., said that Waldron did his job, kept the Padres in the game. But you give up four earned runs, I think, as a starter doing, no, he's the five starter. He didn't walk anyone, so there were some positives from Matt Waldron's outing, but I'd like him to be a little bit better. Cosgrove, he ends up getting sent down after two-thirds of an inning on Monday. Earned run, a walk, ZRA's 1050. Go back to El Paso. That's not the easiest yard to be pitching in, but maybe work on some things, not have to take up a roster spot. Darvish obviously gets activated before his start yesterday. And as I was saying the other day, with Cosgrove being sent down, at first I'm like, interesting, because going into the year, I was trusting Cosgrove to be one of the high-leverage relievers for the Padres. But when you look at the rest of the bullpen, you see Wandy, you see Yuki, and it's like, well, they've got some lefties. They don't need Cosgrove to be on the roster right now, especially when he's struggling. So it does make sense. They're not going to send Kolek, because he's the Rule 5 guy. He has to stay on the roster unless you want to offer him, put him on waivers or offer him back to the team that he was on. Who else? I mean, Estrada, they just called up, and he just pitched two innings and gave up no runs. Morejon's been pitching well. He's another lefty, right? So Cosgrove really was the option. When you look at all the options in the bullpen, it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, the story of the first game, I mean, 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position, so not great, but not of a lot of opportunities either. And got dominated by Nick Lodolo. Nick Lodolo, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 11 punchouts. Gave up that home run to Profar, but I think he retired 23 consecutive Padres. It's those types of outings where, yeah, Lodolo had been pitching really well going in, but casual Padres fans are like, who's Nick Lodolo? You know, and it just, I think that it's not like it's Tyler Glass now. You look at the name and I'm like, it just pisses you off more, right? And that's coming off of getting swept by the Phillies. Ranger Suarez goes 8 innings. Nola goes 8 innings. It's just really frustrating. I'm just glad that these last couple games, the Padres have been able to get some runs on the board. Big, obviously, granny from Crony today. Profar continuing to hit well. Manny heating up. Like, seeing some positive signs there. And hopefully the Padres can keep this march going towards getting back to over 500 and stay over 500, please. That would be great. None of this staying a little bit under 500, getting to 500, not getting over, being back down, or you're barely up over 500 for like a night, and then you have to get, or you go back down to 500, under 500. Let's get these, you know how they won those 3 consecutive series, Dodgers, Brewers, Cubs, I think. We're the 3. Let's keep this going here. You know, let's get back on these series winning streaks. That would be great. And they have the opportunity to do that, facing a D-backs team that's under 500. And then they come back. No. They go to Wrigley, which I think they could win that series. And then they got the Dodgers at home. They've been competitive against the Dodgers this year. So as much as is, yeah, you look at the Dodgers and like, ooh, it's the Dodgers. But the Padres this year so far, they've stepped up in those matchups. They obviously won the last series. That one was at Dodger Stadium. They won that last series against the Dodgers. All right, I want to see what some Padres fans' thoughts are. If you want to join the show, again, a reminder, you can click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. Just seeing here if there's anything that I wanted to touch on. Yu Darvish, that's right. Game two, makes his return. Facing off against Nick Martinez, old friend. Glad to see Nick Martinez take a loss there. Darvish, five innings, no earned runs, no walks, three punchouts. I thought he looked good. I didn't really see anything concerning out of Darvish. It's one outing. But calming press, I think that's what Darren Smith said on San Diego Sports 760 the other day about Darvish. Could potential to be a calming presence for this Padres rotation, and that's what he was the other night. So encouraged by that for sure. And then the back end of the bullpen, obviously, they've been really good this year. Matsui, sub-3 ERA. Suarez, sub-1 ERA. He would be an all-star if that voting happened today. Obviously, we're still, we're just getting to May here. But with Darvish, it's huge. You don't need me to say it, but I'll say it quick here. Darvish, Musgrove, Cease, got to be good if the Padres want to go where they want to go. They want to get to where they want to get to. Michael King, yeah, that would be great too. But those three for sure. I mean, Darvish, Musgrove, those are the long-term contracts. Those top of the rotation before you even added Cease. And then Cease, before his last outing, was pitching like a Cy Young Award winner. And he's been really good in the past in his career as well. And you acquire him, you give up some good talent, you acquire him to be one of your aces. Whether he's actually number one in the rotation or he's number three in the rotation. To pitch like an ace, you look at teams that have gone deep in postseasons, they have starting pitching that they can rely upon. Maybe they don't have four guys or five, but they have three guys. They have two guys definitely, and then maybe they have a third guy that's a little bit surprising, like Brandon Pfaadt last year with the D-backs. Someone that steps up. Doesn't matter who it is, but they step up when it matters the most. So we'll see. Encouraging. Darvish, encouraging. Musgrove, hopefully encouraging on Friday with Dylan Cease. And Michael King can stop giving up a bunch of bombs. That would be nice. But yeah, those are some of the thoughts that I have coming away from this Padres-Reds series. Quick break, and then I'm going to get to one other thing that I wanted to touch on.
Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well.
All right, there's one thing that I wanted to get to here, and it's one guy that Padres fans know pretty well, and it's because it seems like when a Padres topic comes up, he's negative about the Padres, and it is Mr. Brian Kenny. He had a segment with Dan O'Dowd on MLB Network where he wouldn't shut up and let the former GM talk. And he said that 1-0 teams is what he thinks would take Fernando Tatis Jr. and his contract. He's so worried about what would happen when Tatis is older and the backloaded contract. He's more worried about that than the talent that Fernando has and what he could give to another team. So here is this conversation between Brian Kenny and Dan O'Dowd on MLB Network the other day.
Because I thought the Padres are kind of locked into their deal. They can't do a rebuild because they have these unmovable contracts. They just did an extension with Machado. Obviously, they just signed Bogarts, and including Fernando Tatis's contract. You disagree?
Well, I don't disagree in the sense that Machado, Bogarts.
But Tatis.
Specifically Tatis, I do think he's movable, BK, for a couple different reasons. Number one, he's 25 years old. You can look at four contracts in the game that were moved. Stanton, Cano, Arenado, Fielder, large money contracts. all age 28 through 30. He's only 25 years old. Two, he's a premium defender at a particular position, which is right field, won a gold glove.
It's not the particular position you want, though.
No, okay, but let me just finish my arguments here.
Okay, go ahead.
Before you blow him up.
No, go ahead.
And he is, even in a, what you might consider a down year compared to his past year, he was a F-WAR was 4.2. So my assumption is he's going to be that kind of player, which is a 4-5 WAR player per year. I've identified pretty much like 9 clubs that I think that he's movable to, because I think he brings something that's hard to find with our game, which is power, right-handed power, premium position, which is right field of the outfield positions, and speed and durability. And so I do think he's movable because I think he fills a niche. It's 28. His AAV on his deal starting next year is 28.1. I'm assuming you're going to have to take some money back. It's going to end up somewhere in that low 20 area. So I do think it's a very, of the contracts that he has, they have, I do think he is a movable.
I just completely disagree with you for like, and you're laying out things and yet you're seeing it a certain, through a certain prism that kind of warps things. The money that's owed, here's what I'm a GM, I'm looking at it. I'm worried about paying Fernando Tatis age 30 to age 35 to the tune of $36 million a year.
All right, pause that. Okay, that's a lot of money, but what have we seen in baseball? The money goes up on free agents, like the big free agents per year. It feels like the money goes up and up and up. And by the way, he's talking about age 30 to age 35. What, you think he's going to fall off a cliff? And by the way, Nando is 25 years old. If you're a GM acquiring that contract, you're probably not going to be the GM of that team in 2030. You know, like, why are you worrying about that? You should be acquiring Fernando for the guy that he is, the superstar player that he is, and the great defense that he can give you, and the athleticism.
So it's backloaded. That's the problem, is that the contract's backloaded. Well, smart for the club, but not smart for the team that would be trading for him. Take a look at his numbers before his drug suspension and after his drug suspension. And this is a real-world issue that you must confront. Before he was suspended for using a performance-enhancing drug, he's an all-time great. He's Rogers Hornsby at shortstop, 369 on base, 596 slugging, OPS plus 100 being league average, is 160. That's as a young kid, as a skinny shortstop. He's a monster. He's an all-time great. Since then, since the suspension, 321 on base, 446. I'm speaking lower because they're not making as much noise. A 112 OPS plus. He's a vastly different player. Also, he's not playing shortstop, so you're saying, yeah, he had outrageous defensive metrics, but in right field. And so far this year, you know what his defensive metrics are? 0-0. So to think he's going to be a plus 27 the way he was last year, look, he adjusted to right field great. He deserves credit for that. But right now, those numbers are not going to hold. Even if he's a plus fielder, he's a plus fielder in right field, and he's hitting to the tune of a 112, not playing shortstop, $36 million a year?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I can't argue with you, and I won't.
All right, pause that. The point that he brings up about post-steroid suspension, right? And I'm sure Dodger fans will want to bring that point up, and Tatis haters will want to bring that point up. I guess Brian Kenny didn't do his research about the surgeries that Fernando had as well, that played a role, that he was tired at the end of last year. He didn't have a full off season. He was having multiple surgeries. The adjustment to face big league pitching back from a suspension. It's May 1st here, so it may take a little bit of time for him to get really back to Fernando Tatis Jr. Just seems like he hates the Padres.
See, there's age regression built into that. I'm not sure I'm concerned about the age 30, 31, 32. 33 on becomes, it's a little bit problematic without a shadow of a doubt.
I don't know who he is, though, here. That's the basic thing.
Well, I'm just
who
saying
is
to you,
exactly?
Okay, I'm saying to you, worst case scenario for me, he's a 4-WAR player. If you want to take $8 million a year as a 4-WAR player, you know, that's $32 million a year, kind of almost around where his contract
I've never
is.
Bought that number, though, as far as like
well,
how much.
Okay, I'm just
and
saying,
then,
you, getting from a mythology standpoint, I don't think the contract is grossly overstated from what his value could be as a 4-WAR player. I'll ask you this question.
Yeah.
Right now, if the Padres called the Phillies and said, we'll trade Fernando Tatis to you for Nick Castellanos and a young pitching prospect, would you make that deal?
I wouldn't take him under most any circumstances, even though Castellanos is not hitting at all. And would I want more pitching? I wouldn't want $36 million a year starting 4 years from now, because that's when you'll be really paying the price, especially if he never hits.
Okay. No. Every contract is movable then if the issue only comes down to money.
Really?
What would you take? What would you take Tatis out of that?
How many clubs do you think would say yes to Tatis right now?
Right now, I think there's 7 or 8 would say yes to Tatis.
Oh, see, I'm thinking it's more like 1 to 0.
1 to 0? 1 to 0 would take Fernando right now, according to Brian Kenny. Dude, get out of here. Holy cow. I'm like speechless. Teams wouldn't take Fernando. Has he looked at the contract? How much will free agents be making per year? I'm talking about superstar free agents in 2029. Because this year he's making 11. Next year he's making 20. 26 he's making 20. 27 he's making 25. And then 28 he's making 25. That's like nothing for a superstar player. That's better than $40 million a year. And he's worried about once it starts at 36 mil in 2029 when he's 30. Does he think that when Tatis is 30, he's going to fall off a cliff? That he's going to be outside of his prime? It's not like he's going to be 40. His contract, by the way, runs till he's 35, not 40. The Padres have some guys under contract when they're 40. You know, that's not this. I think there are plenty of teams that would take Fernando Tatis Jr. I think that teams, when he signed that, they were like, man, that's a good deal for the Padres. Maybe it's a little bit of a risk, but you see the talent there. And yeah, he hasn't been the same offensively after the suspension. But there are other things that go into that. Not just, oh, well, he was taking steroids, so that's why he's not as good. No, because you've seen the flashes from Fernando. You saw it last year. You've seen it this year. He lives for those big moments, right? The defense is there. The arm is there. It's still there. It's May 1st. You know, it's a long season for a reason. And last year, he didn't have a full offseason. He had surgeries, wrist surgeries, shoulder surgeries. Like, he was not the same guy health-wise as he is this year. Now, if he goes this entire season and disappoints, okay, then we can have more of a conversation. But for now, to say zero to no teams is what Brian Kenny thinks of who will take Fernando, that's pretty idiotic to me. That's just stupid. Anyway, I just wanted to touch on that because that kind of made me laugh when I saw that the other day. All right, JD's third with the super chat. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Says, how is it we lost both Soto trades? Unacceptable. How do we know that? Okay, the Nationals won. I think it's fair to say the Nationals won that deal. Now, I love the memories that we got with Soto, right? Beating the Dodgers, that's something I'm never going to forget. That was amazing. And Soto was a part of that. Great. But we acquired Juan Soto for what? To go make it to the World Series, to go win the World Series. Did that happen? No, it didn't. Came up short, and then didn't even make the postseason last year. Now, the Yankees trade, we don't know yet. We got Drew Thorpe. Part of that was to acquire Dylan Cease. What if Dylan Cease helps the Padres go win a World Series? What if Michael King does? Michael King's under contract for the next couple of years. So is Dylan Cease. So we have multiple years at that instead of just this 1 year with Juan Soto. And, oh, by the way, they got back some good talent as well with Johnny Brito and Randy Vasquez. They've got a lot of control. We'll see what they end up being. And Soto, it's not a guarantee he goes and signs long-term with the New York Yankees. And if he doesn't, then that means that they had 1 year to go win the whole thing. That's what they acquire Juan Soto to do, is to go win the World Series. Not to win the division and then get bounced or to get bounced in the division series. You acquire Juan Soto on a one-year deal and you're the Yankees, trading that talent to go win. So if they don't win, then the Padres win the trade. You know, the Padres didn't win. The Nationals, they have C.J. Abrams. Who knows what Robert Hassel is going to be? Susanna, don't forget about him. James Wood looks like he could be their next Juan Soto or their version, like the left-handed version of Aaron Judge. I've seen that thrown out there. Yeah, the Nats did a good job. And I think we knew that at the time of the Juan Soto trade with the Nationals.
that the Nationals, they did a good job, a really good job. When you've already won a World Series with Soto, you know you're not going to bring him back long-term because he already rejected a $440 million extension, and you can get that much back from the Padres. I tip my cap to the Washington Nationals, to Mike Rizzo, for being able to get that much from the Padres. Mackenzie Gore, another one, who I don't know if he's going to be an ace, but mid-rotation starter maybe. Like, yeah, I think the Nationals have won that deal. If CJ Abrams continues to play, I mean, he's playing really well. And James Wood can be at least a solid major leaguer. Yeah. But both Soto trades, I disagree on that, JD's third. We don't know the answer to that right now. But I appreciate the super chat. All right, a reminder of some of the great partners of the show. Breaking Tee, Padres, Aztecs, Wave, shirts and sweatshirts. By the way, San Diego Wave, they're going to be playing on Friday against Seattle. Hopefully they get the win there before they come back home, face off against Utah, and then they play Gotham. That's going to be a fun matchup. San Diego State, Lamont Butler, as you saw, transferred out of San Diego State to Kentucky. Saunders, that was a little bit of a surprise, but it seems like it's not really about San Diego State and NIL. It's more about, I think, a family situation, but I'm not going to go too deep into that because I don't know all the on that. But I'm not mad at Saunders. It doesn't seem like it's only about money there. It seems a little bit deeper than that. And that's why I don't want to judge guys too much about, especially San Diego State players, where it's like they've given you multiple years in the program. Or with Saunders, he really loved San Diego State and he was being nice to recruits that were coming in and trying to help recruit for San Diego State really recently, like I think a week ago. So there has to be something deeper than just money. So I'm fine with what has happened. And you know, the Aztecs, year after year, they've proven to be a good basketball program regardless of who left. And so I hope that can continue. But yeah, Aztec shirts there as well on Breaking Tee. Underdog Fantasy, on my pregame thoughts, obviously, I do my Underdog Fantasy pick. And by the way, sign up with code Talking Friars, claim your special pick. There's special picks there. Feels like all the time. I'm seeing there was one, I think, yesterday. The NBA playoffs going on. First-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash when you use my code, Talking Friars, and then the same code for SeatGeek, $20 off your first order there. All right, let's get to the chat. Enrique says, let's go. C-Dub says, much-needed series win. Yes, it was. After getting swept by the Phillies, yeah, and you needed these starts from Darvish and Musgrove. JD Third has got to get above 500 with the Diamondbacks series of the season coming up. I mean, I guess we'll say, right, if we're going to say series of the season, we're going to say series of the season for every series this year, right? Because diehard Padres fans, that's how we look at it sometimes, you know? We live and die with every game, with every series. And sometimes I think it's okay to just, you know, take a deep breath, zoom out. This is one series of however many series they play in a season. And, you know, they didn't win that Colorado series. Felt like the end of the world, right? They get swept by the Phillies. Felt really like the end of the world. But then it's like, well, they're still playing in the season. And, yeah, it's I'm kind of joking when I go look at the standings. But, hey, let's go look at the standings here on May 1st and see where the Padres stack up here. Right now, they're 16-18. They're only four games back from the Dodgers for the division. And they've been competitive with the Dodgers, right? Let's go to the playoff picture. Despite the disappointing start, I would say it's been disappointing when they're two games under 500 and how bad they've been at home, right? 8-12 at home. They're only 1.5 games back from a playoff spot. And the Mets, are they going to be a playoff team this year? I don't think so. The Nationals, I don't think so. The Reds, maybe. I don't think so. You know? So, they're still right there. And I get it. It's May 1st. So, you know, it's kind of funny that I'm reading the standings right now, right? But my point is, like, not every series is life or death. Although, that's what it feels like. And that's what some fans will think going into every series. But that's because we're passionate. It's because we care so much about this team. So, I understand it. Yeah, we missed Jordan Montgomery this series, so that will be good. Yep. And again, Corbin Carroll is struggling. So hopefully we can take advantage of it, but it's not the end of the world. Julio says, are you guys tired of seeing Profar being pulled for Azokar? I don't get this move. I doubt Pro is tired. Well, it's not about that. It's the defense. The Padres, clearly, with numbers that they've seen, they like Azokar defensively over Jurickson Profar. It's not because of the bat, or else they would have Profar in there, because he's a switch hitter, and he's their best hitter right now. Yeah, no walks today from Joe was huge. Were there walks from, yeah, Matsui did, I believe, right? Yeah, he had two walks, but no one else did. De Los Santos did not. Peralta did not. Suarez did not. Yep, those free passes, don't do it. You know, the Padres, they took advantage of it, right? Tatis had that walk before the Crony Grand Slam today. Eleventh save. Today was not a save situation. So he has 10 saves on the year, but I get your point. 6-2, not a save situation. Yeah, Profar. Yeah, Will Smith. That thing's aging well, isn't it? Call him irrelevant, and then he beats you the very next game on national television. And he's on pace to be an all-star. And has an OPS well above 900. Let's check in on how Will Smith is doing. I'm not trying to drag Will Smith with the numbers because I haven't looked at them. I'm curious. Let's see how Will Smith is doing this year. Wow, he's actually doing really good. So him and Profar are doing really good. So props to Will Smith. 166 OPS plus for him. OPS plus for him. 946 OPS. And for Profar, 954. So, I mean, they're around the same. So good job by both of them this year. But Profar is not irrelevant. He's had some pretty relevant knocks for the Padres this year. No doubt about that. Sky says, D-backs remind me of the Pods last year, losing close games and blowing teams out by 10 runs the next day. Yeah, what's their run differential right now? Plus 26. Padres, I believe they had a Padres run differential, by the way, is zero. So that would describe about a 500 team. But yeah, the Padres, didn't they have a positive run differential and they ended up missing the postseason last year? So run differential, usually it's a good number, but sometimes it's not. All right, continuing to go through the chat here. Enrique says, give Bogey a whole week. Yeah, that's not happening. Two games is usually what you're going to see. If someone's really struggling and you give them a day off on a day game before another day off, you can get the back-to-back days off there, and then you put them back in and you see what happens. But a week, that's not happening. Because then you got to remember that means that you're putting Tyler Wade in there for a week or Eddie Rosario in there for a week. And I do want to be fair. I mean, let's look at the numbers. So Tyler Wade is not good. Eddie Rosario, his OPS is 853 though this year, so it's not terrible. But when you're paying someone that much money, you're not going to sit him for a week, I wouldn't think. Might as well put him on the IL and make up some type of, Hammy hurts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's see. Alk3Joe says every team would shell out whatever the Padres are asking if we were dumb enough to trade Tatis. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, sure, like for the Yankees, for example, right? They probably wouldn't give you still Spencer Jones. I know it's, if you get Tatis, you're getting him long term. So it's not like it's 1 year of Soto, but I think some teams would still say, hey, we want Tatis in the same lineup with our top prospect. But it's not 0-1 teams that would take Fernando freaking Tatis. Like, come on. Continuing to go through the chat here. Yeah, that was a good play. Yeah. Kim throwing out the runner at third, play of the game. Crony was the player of the game. I mean, it was definitely a moment for sure. I would say, I mean, 2 plays of the game, right? Where Matsui walks a couple guys, gets a strikeout. De Los Santos comes in, gets a strikeout to end the inning, strands a couple guys. I think that's one of the moments of the game for sure. I mean, talking about the play of the game was probably Manny getting robbed of the home run, but he had a good bare hand play as well. I'm just talking about like a good play, not the play in terms of what did it mean for the game, because obviously the Padres still won the game with Fairchild robbing Manny of the home run there. But I point to, I think that was that 7th inning there where Matsui had a couple walks, but they ended up getting out of that. I think that was pretty big. Yeah, and that's another thing. Good job there by C-Dubs. I didn't even address this. Why would we trade Fernando, right? So MLB Network, there on MLB Now, Kenny and Dan O'Dowd, I don't even think it was Dan O'Dowd that's like, yeah, I'd love to have this discussion. I think it's Brian Kenny that's more pushing this. Why would the Padres trade Fernando? They're not going, that would be stupid. He is one of the faces of the franchise. He's one of the most popular players in franchise history. And he's one of the superstars of the game. Is he performing at the Fernando 2021 level right now? No. But he's still one of the stars of the game. You have him under a good contract. It's a pretty team-friendly contract, especially the first part of this contract. You know? Someone you're building around, just won the Platinum Glove last year. Top of your order, your number 2 hitter. Why would the Padres deal him? It's not like it's 1 year left of control, where with Soto, it did make some sense. Or with Tatis, you have him under control for what, another decade? When do we see that in baseball, by the way? I mean, the Marlins, right, they traded Stanton with a lot of control, but they couldn't afford him. Like, that's different. where with the Padres, you've got big attendance. The revenue hopefully will increase when they can find a way to get the TV deal or whatever happens here. A lot of tickets are being sold. A lot of merch is being sold. They can pay for the Fernando Tatis Jr. contract. What team trades a guy who's under contract for like the next decade? I don't remember that happening. So it's just not going to happen. But here we are talking about it because freaking Brian Kenny and MLB Network, you know, they bring up that as a potential talking point because I guess there's nothing else to talk about in Major League Baseball other than, hey, let's try to trade Fernando from the Padres. It's just not going to happen. Preller in his office probably watching that, probably laughing his butt off when he saw that topic get brought up today, or yesterday, whenever that happened. All right. Well, actually, I see from the chat here, Melvin says, trading Nando is probably the worst take I've ever heard. Well, there's actually another one that's pretty bad. It's not Padres, but Stephen A. on First Take this morning with Mad Dog talking about Mike Trout, and he was questioning if Mike Trout was taking care of his body, and he was questioning why baseball players get hurt. It's baseball. It's not hockey. It's not football. That's pretty much what his argument was. It's like, holy cow, dude. It's just these national talking guys that don't watch the sport unless it's like the postseason or the Yankees are on, and they parachute in and they give their thoughts because a big name player that casual sports fans know gets hurt. They come in, give their opinion on it, give their take, and they sound like a freaking idiot. Brian Kenny, he works for MLB Network. Baseball is his sport. So for him to do this, it's just like, have some common sense. Look at it from the Padres' viewpoint instead of a GM 5 years down the road. I'm going to tell you this, dude. Brian Kenny, 5 years down the road, most GMs are not going to be employed by the team that they're on right now. That's just how baseball works. Most sports work, to be honest. There's just a sense of urgency. All right. That's going to do it. Talking Friars episode 593. Thank you, everyone, for the time. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night, Padres. They take this series. And a happy night for Padres fans.